that fateful day and saw her brother's death in her mind, as she felt helpless to save Ari's life and her own. This was the beast they were all trying so hard to prevent Nick from becoming.
Manyara?
But Manyara was as horrified as she and Simi. Unlike her, this was the first time Manyara had seen Nick in this form. The first time Manyara faced the full Ambrose Malachi, and he was a fierce, frightening beast. Zev grabbed Cody in a firm hold. Kiss him.
She widened her eyes. Are you out of your mind?
Nick was more likely to kill her than welcome her while in this state.
Trust me.
Are you out of your mind? She repeated.
Do it.
Before she could protest again, he shoved her against Nick. Only this wasn't Nick. This was the monster Malachi. Huge and muscled, he glared down at her with a hatred that terrified her. There was no recognition in those glowing red eyes, no humanity or soul. They were searing. He growled at her, and she waited for him to rip out her throat and laugh while he did it. Every part of Cody wanted to run screaming for cover. But her mother had been the great Bathymas of antiquity, the original goddess of justice, Bethany of Atlantis and Egypt, a goddess of unbelievable power and courage. Her father had been Styx and Axcolossi of the house of Heracles, prince of Didymos, one of the greatest ancient generals to ever lead an army and one of the strongest of the Thonians to ever live. She would not dishonor them or herself by backing down from any threat, not even this one. With every molecule of courage she could muster, she faced the demon before her and held her ground. Hoping and praying Zev wasn't setting her up to die, she laid her hand on Nick's mottled cheek and searched those foreign eyes for a sign of something familiar. All she saw was hatred and despair. Nick, she whispered, aching to reach him before he was lost to them forever. Can you hear me? Are you still in there somewhere? Please be in there somewhere. He cocked his head to study her and narrowed his flame-filled eyes. With her other hand, she reached up to trace his brow, as she did whenever they were alone in his condo.
I need my sweet Cajun to come back to me. Who else is going to translate all the things in this city? I don't understand, like, faredu, fixing to making groceries and neutral ground and tell me the difference between Bebet and Bebel.
Bebel, cher.
Though he still remained in full Malachi form, she heard the slight softening of his demonic voice in the whispered endearment he only used for her.
You better be right about this, Zev.
Completely petrified, she buried her hand in his sleek black hair and slowly lowered his lips to hers. At first he growled angrily and started to pull away, but the moment her tongue swept against his, he changed. His arms hesitantly wrapped around her body to hold her in a gentle embrace as his wings came down. Those wings cocooned them in a feathery caress before they finally vanished with the lightest stirring of air. He brought his hands up to cup her head in a gentle, familiar hold. His hair changed from the sleek demon texture to the soft waves she was used to burying her hands in. When Cody opened her eyes, she no longer stared into those red, searing orbs, but the beautiful blue eyes that held a part of her no one else ever had. She had no idea why Nick thought Zavid, Zev, and Caleb were more handsome than he was. They had nothing on her sharp-witted, smart-aleck Cajun. Well, maybe a better wardrobe. But even in his wrinkled mass of oversized, tacky, hideous Hawaiian shirts, Nicholas Gaucher turned heads and left her breathless. Smiling up at him, she ran her fingertip over his bottom lip.
Ça c'est bon, n'est-ce pas?
That familiar, charming grin that never failed to turn her to mush and get him out of any amount of trouble where she and his mother were concerned, curved his lips.
Oui, toujours, cher.
How could any male be so dang charismatic? Yes, he had the Malachi's glamour that charmed people, but his went deeper than that. There was something much more compelling about Nick, something that made her feel warm and safe whenever he was near. Honestly, she never wanted to leave his company, never wanted to be any place except right here, in his embrace. Crossing his arms over his chest, Zev gave her a smug smirk.
Our weaknesses. Forever.
Cody paused at that thought and let it roll around in her mind. Had they changed the future already? Could it be possible? If she could call Nick back from his full Malachi form, could she prevent him from ending the world? Was this the answer they sought? Dagon laughed bitterly as he pushed himself up from the floor. Pale and weak from what Nick had done to him, he struggled to stand.
You're a naive child, aren't you?
What? She asked.
I can hear the thoughts churning in your mind. They're written all over your face. It doesn't matter how much sway you hold over him. In fact, the more of him you hold, the weaker he becomes.
How so? Zev met Dagon's gaze before he answered Cody's question. Because whatever weakness you have becomes Nick's weakness. Don't you understand? What happened to me happened not because I was vulnerable. It happened because my wife and Caleb's wife were threatened and couldn't protect themselves. The actions we took were to keep them safe from our enemies. That was our mistake and our damnation. Even Dagon was punished and condemned over his wife's compassion for her brother, Lycon. Not his own. Nodding, Dagon wiped at his neck. His gaze returned to Charisse.
I have to have that woman. She is a blood tie to the source. Azura needs her body to enter this world. If I help her cross over, she will free Shala.
When he took a step forward, Menyara blocked him.
Azura can't do that.
Cam.
Dagon, Shala's dead. You know she is. Noir killed her long ago. Use your powers and ask your mother. Look into your heart and tap the source yourself. You know I speak the truth, honey.
Shaking his head in denial, he staggered back.
No. She lives, she has to. I gave up my freedom, my life for hers. That was the bargain I made with them.
They lied to you, and I'm sorry. A part of her essence still exists in Elios, but the Shala you knew, they destroyed her centuries ago.
Dagon stood frozen, as if the words were so much more than he could bear to hear. Tears welled in Cody's eyes as she saw the raw pain in his. She felt terrible for the ancient god. A tick started in his jaw, and a single tear slid down his cheek.
I should have known better than to trust my father when he swore to me that he'd never harm her. I should have known he'd never keep his word to me.
His lips trembled as he met Manyara's gaze.
Did she suffer?
No.
But they all knew she was lying, too. Placing his hand on Dagon's shoulder, Zev ground his teeth.
I'm so sorry.
Fire rolled over his shoulders, forcing Zev to jerk his hand back with a grimace. Dagon pulled a small, ornate bottle from his sleeve.
They wanted me to give this to the woman, so that Azura could be reborn into her body.
Menyara shook her head.
Don't do what you're thinking, Dagon.
An evil smile spread across his handsome face.
Why not? A little divine retribution might go a long way in making all of us feel better.
Do I want to know what you're thinking? Zev asked.
Not if you wish to remain in one piece. I'm sure your mother would rip you to shreds should you participate in my plans to have Azura reborn as a pig.
Suddenly there was a deep, dark crash of thunder, followed by lightning so bright it was blinding. It shook the entire building. Nick grabbed the back of the couch to steady himself. What the hell monkey visits us now? His features pale, Zev went to the window and opened the curtains.
so that Nick could see that it wasn't just the Mematim on the street. The sky was now filled with more birds than he'd ever seen in his life. At least, to human eyes, they appeared as birds. With his perspicacity, Nick saw them for what they really were. Soldiers in an army that was here to kill Nick and everyone who stood with him. Nick sighed heavily. I really shouldn't have said Hell Monkey. Chapter 10. Zev turned on Dagon.
Claim a side to die for.
Dagon frowned as his gaze went from Simi to Coty to Manyara and Nick.
Fine, but I'm not sure what side this is, are you? Meaning?
He scowled at Nick's hand on Cody's.
Since when does the Malachi fight beside Cam and the daughter of Bathimat?
Nick flashed him a devilish grin. I'm not your average Malachi.
So it's true, then. There is a Malachi born of the light?
Zev hesitated about confirming it in so many words.
He fights against Nuar and Azura. And the Usumgalu?
Dagon asked, not that Nick blamed him for being suspicious. Before picking a side in a war this deadly and scary, it paid to ask a few questions and do some homework. Once a flag was chosen, it was hard to surrender it.
Where do they and their allies stand in this? Mostly undeclared. Malphus is temporarily down, but fights with us unequivocally. Livia is with us. Bane, undecided. We know nothing of Grimm or Laguerre. We assume Irre is against us, but we don't know for certain.
Nick grimaced as he realized his allies were even fewer than he'd thought. Ouch. Dagon's gaze went to the window, where it narrowed sharply.
I'd say they've declared enmity. Those Scarions are seeking Malachi blood. Once they have it, you'll have no choice. You either ride with death and war, or die.
He scowled at Nick.
Why didn't you drain your Saras while you could?
In retrospect, stupidity. But that wasn't what he said out loud. He answered with the truth. I didn't think I had to. Caleb said all I had to do was confront them, show them who's boss, and seal the gate. We did that. Irre was never released. Only Livia and Zev, and they relented to me. At least, that's what I was told.
Someone lied to you. Irre made it through to this side and is roaming free.
Nick searched his memory as he tried to remember who told him that Irre had stayed sealed in. For his life, he couldn't recall who'd said that. Crap, where had that come from? He knew he hadn't imagined it. Someone had told him that. Had they set him up intentionally? Could they have meant to betray him, or was it a misunderstanding or mistake? And if it was intentional...
I'm so screwed.
No, worse than that. Someone would have intentionally betrayed him, set him up for this, so that they'd all get their butts handed to them in this massacre. He passed a look between Coty, Zev, and Dagon. So what do we do? Dagon hesitated before he answered.
Where are the Erelim or Sephiroth?
Snorting with bitter amusement, Zev looked at Nick with a smirk that said he'd let him explain. Oh, goody. Nick was less than amused as he ran with the cue. The last Sephiroth is imprisoned. I have no idea where, from what I've been told. I don't want to know where either, as it's highly unpleasant. The Erelim are in the middle of a horrific civil war, and both sides hate my guts with a passion that burns brighter than a binary star system. Needless to say, we're a little low on allies. I do have a few Dark Hunters and two lunatics I can count on, along with one awesome Karante. Simi grinned. Manyara sighed heavily.
He's right. Rezar is missing. Verlin captured. Our side has been losing ground for a long time now, which is another reason why we had to secure the Malachi and limit his powers any way we could. But that being said, I can summon Asheron and Savitar as well as Thorn.
Dagon cocked his head.
Thorn?
Lucius of the Brocadians, Manyara explained. He and his hell chasers are still firmly against Nuara and Azura, though their numbers aren't many. They're as strong as ever, and they fight them every chance they get.
Zev inclined his head to Manyara.
Summon them all, and do it fast. We need every sword.
No sooner had he spoken than a strange light permeated the room, washing it with a weird glow that came from outside. Dread filled every pore of Nick's body.
What is that?
Takiramon,
Dagon and Zev said in unison.
And that would be what brand of Pokemon? Ash Ketchum? Should I fetch Pikachu's ball and have at it? I choose you, Dagon!
Rolling her eyes at Nick's sarcasm that went over Zev's and Dagon's heads, Cody let go of Nick's hand and summoned her Aerolim battle armor and swords.
It's the Veil of Mortal Sleep.
The what?
Cody checked her weapons.
Veil of Mortal Sleep.
There aren't many creatures strong enough to conjure it. It casts that red glow over the earth and puts the humans into a trance so that they are unaware of us. Like your mother, they sleep completely safe and totally ignorant of what's happening around them. Cody jerked her chin toward the window. See for yourself. Nick went to look, and sure enough, everyone outside, who'd been walking around just a few minutes ago, was lying sprawled out on the sidewalks like corpses in open graves. It was creepy and chilling, not something anyone wanted to see outside of a zombie movie. His blood ran cold at the unnatural sight that left him terrified for the world and everyone in it. Worse, it made him feel powerless against who or whatever had sent that. How could they even begin to fight against something so powerful? Were they nuts?
Are they okay?
He asked Zev.
For the moment.
Meaning? Cody sighed nervously.
They're easy pickings. If we don't do something, they won't be okay for long. Anything or anyone could attack them. And if they stay that way until morning, they're all dead. There won't be any way to bring them back then, including your mom.
Simi spread her wings and broke out her barbecue sauce.
The Simi ready to battle and chow down. Show me them demons. It's snack time.
Cody turned to Nick as he felt his eyes starting to change to demon red.
You need to stay mortal. Keep your Malachi powers leashed.
Why?
Because you can't control them. Every time you break them out, we lose a part of you. Can't you feel it?
At the moment, what he felt was sick to his stomach, that all of this was happening to innocent people because of him and what they'd failed to do. Protect them.
She's right, Nick.
Zev stepped closer to him.
I saw it, too. We barely got you back earlier. Another minute? And I'm not sure we would have.
Dagon brushed at the bloody wound on his neck.
Since I was the one bitten, and I'm still weak from it, I concur. You don't need to invoke powers you can't control. It's just a real bad idea.
Manyara strengthened the spells for the condo. We're still hidden here. They can't find us. Stay with Charisse while I get our reinforcements. She vanished instantly.
I don't like staying here and waiting,
Nick shouted at Manyara, but she was already gone and didn't hear a word of it. Irritated, he watched as the birds began to land on the ground and transform into demonic warriors who searched the bodies as if looking for someone. And he had a bad idea that person was either him or Caleb.
We need to get to Caleb's and protect him.
Dagon snorted.
You use that kind of power and they will sense it instantly, follow you and attack.
He's right, Zev concurred.
They'll be all over us.
So what do we do, the hokey pokey? Turn ourselves around, feed them my best friend and say bon appetit? Because no offense, I'm not really okay with that. Caleb's been there for me since the very beginning. He's bled for me when no one else has and has never failed to save my butt. So you can stand here watching Demon Kingdom out there, which is a fascinating show all you want to, but I'm going to stand and fight for my friend.
Dagon's frown deepened.
Is he always like this?
Zev nodded.
I told you, he's not like the others of his ilk. No, definitely not. All the Malachis I've known would have hand-fed Malphas to their enemies to buy them time to get soldiers.
His tone said Dagon wasn't so sure that was a good thing, though. Nick's grin widened.
Relax. It's just all the paint chips I ate as a kid. No real lasting damage. Ignore the extra finger and toe. They actually come in handy and toey at times. And that, too, appeared lost on the ancient god, who had no measurable sense of humor. How very sad for him. Groaning as if his bad jokes caused her physical pain, Cody shook her head. Simi wrapped her arm around Nick's shoulder.
So, it's demon chow time? The Simi getting hungry, while the buffet is down there and getting bigger in number. I vote the Simi go cull the herd while we wait.
She flashed an eager grin. Nick returned his attention to the army that was marching nearer, searching for them. As he watched, a strange thought went through him. Maybe, just maybe, there was some hope left. He glanced over to the two ancient former gods. I'm Patton, right? They exchanged a puzzled frown.
Patton?
Zev asked. Yeah, that reference was probably lost on them. General of the great demon horde out there? I guess in your days, a light comparison would have been Styx of Didymus, since you both predate Alexander the Great. Nick scowled as he realized what he just said. Wait, how do I know that? I know nothing about history. Holy crap, I was actually listening when Ash and Kyrian talk? Don't nobody ever tell them that. They might get more egotistical and we'd have to find a bigger house for it. He jerked his chin toward the demons. Anyway, they might answer to another commander for now, but ultimately that commander is my bitch, right? Dagon had an expression that said Nick had lost him around the bend. Luckily, Zev was keeping pace.
Yes, your point?
What would I need to do to go out there and claim them as my guys? Cody snorted. A miracle? Not helping, Nick said dryly. Zev took a deep breath before he slid a speculative glance toward Simi.
A miracle,
he repeated and concurred. Nick rolled his eyes. Zev cracked an irritating grin.
You can always go out there with your charming personality and try to win them over.
He nudged Nick toward the door.
Go on. I dare you.
Nick headed for the door. I will. I mean, think about it. Everyone attacks them, right? They're used to fighting. If I go out there and talk to them, it'll throw them off guard. It worked earlier when I talked to the Mematims. No one attacked me. They actually seemed kind of reasonable. So if I go out there and assert myself, tell them that I'm their supreme poobah, they'll fall in line, right?
To kill you? Zev asked. Most likely. To listen and obey wouldn't stake my life on it. But far be it from me to interfere with your stupidity in any way.
Nick shrugged his hold off. Ha ha, real funny, he swept his gaze over them. Anyone got something better?
Molotov cocktails?
Simi volunteered.
That way, they'd be cooking while they're fleeing.
Choking on Simi's solution, Cody bit her lip in a most adorable way.
I might have an idea, but I'm not sure you're going to like it.
Okay, let's hear it. Before Cody could tell Nick her plan, everything in the room froze. Even time itself. Only Nick seemed unaffected by whatever was causing it. Was this the Tachyramon? Could it also affect Praetors? He had no other explanation, at least nothing that made any sense. Even Simi was frozen in place, and that never happened. Nothing like this ever affected her. Nick waved his hand before her face, half expecting her to bite at his fingers and laugh at him for being so gullible. She didn't.
What is this?
He poked gently at Simi. She didn't move or flinch at all. His heart pounding, he heard the shrieking sound of a horse from outside his window, literally right outside his window. With a fierce scowl, he went to investigate. As soon as he parted the curtains, he jumped back with a startled, piercing shout that would have rivaled Scream Queen Marilyn Burns confronting Leatherface. Not the manliest sound he'd ever made. Thank goodness none of the others could bear witness to it. Outside the window, floating in midair, was the king of the plague doctors. Only this guy looked like he'd not only gotten the plague, he'd picked up scabies, rabies, and a few other flesh-rotting diseases along the way. A bony finger emerged from bloody robes to point at Nick and motion him outside. Nick shook his head. Sorry, I'm grounded. My mom won't let me come out and play until all my homework and chores are done. Should be at least a decade or so, maybe a couple centuries. It held up a large hourglass that only had a few grains of sand.
When this empties, if you're not out here, Malachi, everyone you love will die.
Nick scoffed until he realized there was a Zeitjager standing over everyone in the room with a bloody sickle angled for their throats. Everyone, including his unconscious mother. How was that possible? Stunned, he looked back at the king of all death and realized the sands in the glass were almost gone. Chapter 11.
There are some journeys we must take alone.
Nick paused as he heard his mother's voice in his head with something she often said to him. Birth, death, flossing, toenail clipping, bathroom breaks, garbage duty. And apparently, facing whatever the heck that thing was outside his condo that appeared to be in charge of the Zeitjagers. All of those had to be done alone. Though, to be honest, he had a childish urge to run through the birds, screaming like a hyperactive kid at the beach on a massive sugar high. A part of him wondered if they'd take flight and scatter like other foul creatures. Most likely not. His luck? They'd gut him where he stood and peck out his eyes. They didn't seem like the skittish type, more like the ones Zeus used to torture poor Prometheus for daring to give fire to mankind. All right, strap up, boy, square those shoulders, hold that head high. He was the Malachi. It was time to be the baddest beast in the land and show them who was boss. But honestly, he wanted to tuck and run screaming in the opposite direction until there was nothing left of him except a vanishing vapor trail. The only thing that kept him from it was the number of people who were relying on him to be rock steady. His mom, Cody, Caleb, Simi, Zev. He refused to disappoint them. They needed him to see this through, to be the man he pretended to be, the one he arrogantly professed to be whenever he was challenged, not the boy he still felt like most days. He wanted them to treat him like an adult. This was where adulthood began. And that was what being an adult meant. Handling crap you didn't want to deal with. Standing strong when you wanted to cave. He'd seen his mom do it enough to know the truth. How many times had she put on a brave face while hiding tears and dressing for a job that demeaned her and sucked out a part of her soul? And how many times had he overheard her quiet morning pep talk she gave herself as she readied herself to face the coming horrors of a day? Yet to feed him and keep a lousy, roach-infested roof over their head, she'd done it, day after day, while never once complaining about it. You did what you had to. Now it was his turn to strap on his big boy pants and save her and the others. I can do this. Nick inhaled a deep breath to steady his nerves and released it as he flashed himself outside to face the demon lord and see what the beast wanted with him. One who was a heck of a lot larger up close than he'd appeared through the window. What kind of steroids did he take? Dang. Seriously subdued, Nick paused on the street with a grimace as he glanced around at the demons, who were also bigger up close and personal. Did they just multiply in number, too? He could have sworn there weren't this many a second ago. Maybe that was just his nerves learning new math. Yeah, could be. As soon as they saw him, they moved into attack formation. Okay, that was even scarier than he'd anticipated.
Hold it together, Gaucher. You've got this.
I don't got shite. Are you blind?
Yes, so much for his mom's self-help pep talks. They didn't work for squat. His gut was still tight enough to form a new diamond mine.
Malachi.
His title went through their ranks like a hated whisper. For one tiny, infinitesimal moment, Nick thought that when they did that, that would settle it, that they might run for cover like frightened rabbits. Until he realized how right Zev had been. Their fear was more a rallying call than anything else. It made them even more unstable and hostile, more likely to attack him than to bolt.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Scared, feral, attack demons. Just what he'd asked for. Never. Tall and deadly, the cloaked demon lord approached him, with a quirky smile twisting his lips. Scars covered his weathered face. Dressed black on black, he wore a hood over his head. Peculiar, tarnished silver vambraces covered both of his forearms. Each one was embellished with an elaborate snake and egg design that seemed oddly familiar, though Nick had no idea why. Tendrils of dark hair framed his angular face as he studied Nick with an unamused stare.
"You're braver than I thought."
More sand appeared in the hourglass he held.
"Good. You bought yourself additional time with your courage. For that, I applaud you."
"Cronus, Cronus, Cronus."
A strangely familiar feminine voice said in a staccato rhythm reminiscent of a clock's ticking.
"You're being vague, and the poor boy has no idea what you're talking about. And look at the poor thing. He's about to wet his pants."
Tiamat appeared next to Nick's side with an adorable smile on her face. She brushed a lock of dark brown hair back from his forehead before she propped her arm on his shoulder and leaned against him.
"Poor Malachi," she chided. "It's been a weird day for you, hasn't it?"
A chill went down his spine. "What's going on? What do you want with me?" She laughed eerily before she pushed herself away from him and went to stand next to Cronus.
"Think of it as a pop quiz. And you were doing unbelievably well."
"Were?" Nick felt his stomach starting to burn again. Tiamat nodded.
"We can't have the war starting quite yet. Not until this matter is settled."
Oh, he so didn't like the sound of any part of this. His ulcer was now the size of Texas and was currently having kittens and ducks, probably a few lizards, too. Pressing his hand against the gastric pain, Nick grimaced and wished he had a few gallons of Tums. "And what matter is that?"
"The head of the Usumgalu."
That took him by total surprise. What was she talking about? What head? He was the head, right? "Excuse me?" She stepped forward to pat his cheek in the most condescending way imaginable. The matrons at church would be so proud of how she did that. He was only surprised she didn't pinch his dimples while she was at it.
"A vote was called. It seems the majority of your generals feel you're unfit to lead them. And since there is another creature born of Adarian's blood, they are asking for us to judge which of you should be named his heir."
Nick forced himself not to gape or react in any way at something that had to be incredibly bad news for him. "I didn't think it worked that way."
She nodded. "The Malachi powers can be taken or assumed by another, especially a blood son, if one exists. It would be nothing for your older half-brother to claim the birthright from you, should we deem him so worthy."
"Oh, goody, how about a good eye-gouging, too, or groin clamping? That sounded like even more fun." But that brought him back to one stunning point that he still couldn't quite wrap his mind around. "Wait, what? What older brother are we talking about? I didn't think the Malachi could have more than one son at a time who could live past the age of 10. Isn't that an impossibility?"
Cronus laughed. "Adarian was a crafty beast. Seems he found a way to bypass his curse and hide his firstborn son from the gods. Something he confided to one of your Saras before he died. Like you, that son is being tested for his abilities to see who is better suited for the Malachi role."
Tiamat patted his cheek.
"This is where you should hope he fails and you pass."
Great. Talk about test anxiety. And in this case, Nick had a bad feeling failure wasn't an F. It was a D, as in death. And he didn't mean a party with Grimm. Death as in dead. In the grave, never to be seen or heard from again. "And can I have some of the criteria on which I'm being judged?"
"No,"
His jaw went slack at Tiamat's cold and unexpected answer. No? Seriously? You're not going to give me a clue about how to pass this test or tell me anything about it?
No. That would take all the fun out of it.
For us.
But you've already completed a great deal of the test without even knowing. So breathe, child. We haven't killed you. Yet. Relax.
Easy for her to say. No one was screwing with her life. Yeah, but I like cheat codes. A slow, insidious smile curved her lips.
Life isn't about cheat codes. It's about experience points.
Gah, they sounded like his mom. So what's this next part of the test? Will you tell me that much?
You want to heal your mother and Malphas?
Cronus asked. More than anything.
Then, knowing that more than half your generals are against you, you will have to choose two to trust. One, to stay behind and protect your mother from your enemies, should they attack her while you finish it. And one, to stand at your back and fight with you and help you finish out your journey.
Cronus leaned in to whisper insidiously to Nick.
But be warned. Either one could betray you at any time and use either you or your mother as a bargaining chip with your enemies to save themselves. That's the gamble you take.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And if I choose not to play? Tiamat tisked at him. Not an option. Of course not. Nick ground his teeth as he cursed his luck and the fates that had given him this life. Tiamat wrinkled her nose at him.
So, who will you choose to aid you?
The first choice was an easy one to make. There was only one he'd put with his mother in his absence. Zev, to watch over my mom. They both appeared shocked by his choice, though why he had no idea, until they spoke. Cronus tilted his head curiously.
He betrayed his brother's wife, his own child. Did you know that?
Nick had no idea Zev had a kid at all. Still, I trust him not to harm my mother. Nick didn't know why. Just something in the way Zev looked at her said that he would die before he ever allowed any harm to come to her. Through and through, he believed in Zev. Tiamat looked less than pleased before she motioned to one of the Zeitjagers, who quickly left them to obey.
Then it shall be done. And for your ally?
Honestly, he didn't trust any of the others at his back, not even Grimm. It just seemed like a bad idea and one step shy of suicide. Can I pick Simi?
Tiamat rubbed at her forehead. You have to pick from your Saras.
You'd really rather not. Cody? Cronus glared at him.
Do I have to subtract time from your life sands to get the point across?
Nick was beginning to not like him. Truthfully, he didn't want any of them. They weren't his allies, not really. Grimm didn't like him, and that was a major understatement. Laguerre terrified him. She was N-U-T-S with a cherry on top. Bane was ambivalent to basically everything. Nick didn't know Irei at all. That only left one, and something in his gut wasn't happy about it. But he had no other choice. Livia, then. Cronus screwed his face up.
Strange. You pick the two you've known the least amount of time. Why them?
Nick shrugged. I know Grimm isn't reliable, Laguerre even less so. I barely know Bane, and I've yet to meet Irei. Zev is the only one I really trust. Cronus exchanged a puzzled stare with Tiamat.
Then why put Livia at your back?
She says I can trust her.
And that's good enough for you?
No, not even a little, but they hadn't really left him with any other choice. Besides, if she does me wrong, the shame falls on her shoulders, not mine. As my mom says, shame comes to those who do shameful things. Nick sighed, dreading what was next, but knowing he couldn't avoid it. Now, what do I have to do to make them better?
Tiamat held her hand up,
and a bright red crow flew to light upon her wrist. She stroked its creepy little head.
Lirabeth, we lead you to the cure you need to awaken your mother.
And Caleb.
You must go to the sacred Nemed in the center of the darkest part of the forest and pick the berries from the largest tree there. 3 berries each, 6 in total, no more. But be warned, the way is long and fraught with danger. Nothing is as it seems.
Have you seen the things that attend my high school? I'm kind of used to that. Tiamat snorted at his humor.
Be careful who you put your trust in, as it could be the last mistake you make. You should also be aware that Noir and Azura are trying to claim bodies for themselves. Should they get to your loved ones first, you will never cure them. Your mother and Caleb will cease to exist.
Forever.
Therefore, your time is extremely limited. You must beat your brother and the other gods to their mission. Whoever finishes their quest first wins. The loser dies painfully.
Cronus cleared his throat. And before you ask, as with life, there are no rules. Nothing is fair. Winner takes all.
Wonderful. Least they could do is let him have a friend or two for the journey, someone he could put at his back that he actually trusted. But then maybe that was the point. There were times in life when you had no one at your back but your enemies. Like his mom so often said, some doors had to be walked through solo.
So when do I start this disaster? Nick asked. Laughing, Tiamat stepped back and snapped her fingers.
An extremely offended Livia appeared in front of him, until she saw Cronus and Tiamat. Her features paled instantly. With a yelp, she rushed to hide behind Nick so he could protect her from them. Not that he was much more than a flesh wall.
What is this?
She whispered to him.
We're getting the cure from my mom and Caleb. She clutched at him.
What?
She asked in a hushed whisper. They, he jerked his chin toward Cronus and Tiamat, are giving us the chance to heal them. Biting her lip, she swallowed hard.
Are you sure we can trust them?
Not at all, but it's the only chance they have, so I'm taking it.
Where are we going?
She barely finished asking the question before everything around them went pitch black nasty. It was so dark it hurt his eyes and made him see weird spots all around as his eyes struggled to see something out of the absolute nothingness. When the light unexpectedly returned, Nick flinched in physical pain from it and found himself in a dark, foggy forest instead of the streets of New Orleans. Moonlight cut through spooky trees with knobby knees and hanging moss and thick underbrush and thorns. He'd never seen anything quite like it, not even Asmodea. Off in the distance, he heard the sound of numerous animals, including wolves. The stench of death, pine, and mistletoe hung heavy around them. It was so pungent he could taste it.
What is this place?
Livia cursed under her breath before she answered him.
Agonia.
Ago what?
Agonia. It's a hell realm, Nick. The one Zev was banished to centuries ago as punishment for betraying his people and killing Caleb's wife.
Oh.
Turning around slowly, Nick studied it with care and great curiosity. Other than being dark and a little damp and cold, the place held a strange, ethereal beauty to it.
It doesn't look so bad.
Certainly not as horrible as he'd envisioned it from the way Zev acted about it. He'd expected it to be a blistering desert hell with no comforts at all. But no sooner had that thought finished than the red crow let out a caw that sounded like a blood-curdling scream. The ground beneath his feet rose up to form a giant beast of a man out of absolutely nothing, one with serrated teeth and a massive stone eye in the center of his bulbous head, an eye he rotated to glare down at them with.
Who are you? Why have you come here?
Definitely not for a fun-filled Disney vacation.
Nick stepped back cautiously as he decided to take a clue from the one piece of ancient Greek lit he knew and pulled an Odysseus on the creature. Nobody. Unfortunately, Livia must not have ever read the Odyssey as she ratted him out immediately.
You're not nobody, Nick.
She lifted her chin defiantly toward the giant.
He's the Malachi. You better show him respect or else he'll destroy you where you stand.
Ah, crap. Leave it to her to be honest, for once. And literal. The giant gaped at them.
Malachi? Here?
Before Nick could respond with anything more eloquent than a helpless shrug, the entire forest came alive and attacked.
Chapter 12. Zevakon became aware of his surroundings with a start. Sensing something was off about the room, he blinked and scowled until he met Cody's equally confused gaze. His whole body was stiff as if he'd been in a fight, yet he hadn't. Had he? Rolling his shoulders, he tried to make sense of what he felt and saw.
Where's Nick? Cody asked him.
Oh, yeah, that's what's missing. Nick had been right beside him a moment ago.
I don't know.
Even Dagon looked baffled by it all.
What happened?
Rubbing at his temple, Zev felt as if he'd sustained a stunning battle blow to the head. Nothing had hit him this hard, with this amount of damage, since Caleb. That demon alone could rattle him like this. Dagon went perfectly still all of a sudden.
Do you smell that?
Smell what? Cody asked. But Zev knew that unique, sickly sweet stench the moment Dagon mentioned it.
Cronus.
Dagon nodded slowly.
His keepers were here.
Skimming the room as he turned a slow circle, Zev narrowed his gaze on the shadows.
Or still are.
Cody frowned. I don't understand.
Neither do I.
Dagon breathed. He met Zev's gaze with eyes that betrayed his own concern that this was quickly escalating into something none of them wanted to live through again.
You think they took Nick for the source?
His stomach churned at the very thought of it. And yet,
why else would the Malachi have vanished? They had to have taken him.
But why? That was the terrifying question. If Cronus took possession of Nick, it couldn't be good for anyone, especially not for anyone in this room. The primal god of order didn't involve himself lightly, and whenever he did, tragic things happened for them all. Zev turned toward Simi.
Caronte, can you trace the Malachi?
The Simi wishes you'd stop calling her that, cursed god. It really, really annoying. She got a name, two of them, actually, and they both are quite lovely, so please pick one and use it when you address me. Otherwise, I might have to do something not so nice to you to get the Simi's point across.
Sighing irritably at him, she closed her eyes and tried to locate Nick. After a few seconds, she shook her head.
Nope. The Simi got no ideas where he went on off to. Maybe he got hungry. Sometimes them boys do that without warning. He the only one Simi knows who eats as much as she does. He a growing Malachi, after all.
Zev turned around slowly as he studied the symbols on the walls. Symbols that would be useless against Cronus and Tiamat, as well as their pets. He hoped he was wrong.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
Dagon nodded.
As do I. If both Cronus and Tiamat are here, there can only be one reason for it.
What? Cody asked.
Judgment,
Zev and Dagon said in unison. It was the only thing that made sense, and it explained absolutely everything that had happened so far. The weather, the demons, everything. They should have realized it sooner, but it was so rare a thing that it just hadn't occurred to him that it could be happening, especially since neither he nor Olivia had voted or discussed such. In theory, the Saras should have all met together to decide upon it. All of them, yet none had broached the subject with him. Not even Livia, whom he saw every day.
Cody sucked her breath in sharply.
The others?
Zev nodded.
They must have called for Nick to be removed as Malachi.
Her jaw went slack as she finally understood the severity of what they might be dealing with.
Has that ever been done before?
Only once, many eons ago. After that, there's never been another opportunity because of their inherited memories and tendency and need for vengeance. The Malachi's put us down too fast for fear of it happening again. They give us no chance to get together for the vote and take great pleasure in punishing us for what was done back then.
Dagon turned to Cody.
You better get to Caleb and to make sure Livia hasn't done something to him.
What do you mean?
It was Evacon who answered her question.
If this is the Malachi test, she might be working with the others. There's no telling what she might have done to him to initiate it. It would take 4 Saras to agree to have a Malachi undergo the hazard. I know I didn't call for it or vote on it. That leaves her or Bane as a deciding vote with the others. And I have a feeling Bane didn't bother. Unless he's radically different from the man I remember, he wouldn't involve himself with such politics or treachery.
Cody shook her head. It doesn't make sense, though. Why would Livia do that after all Caleb and Nick have done to welcome her in?
Zev laughed bitterly.
It's her nature, Nakota. If the Saras reached out to her and asked her to join them, she would have, without hesitation. All she wants is to feel like she's a part of their family, one of them.
As Cody started to leave, they heard a knock on the door.
Meniara?
Dagon asked, thinking it might be her returning with some of their reinforcements. No one answered from the hallway. Simi went to the door and peeped through the hole.
Nope. It's that other dog boy, Zavid. Hi, Zavid,
she said in a louder tone as she opened the door for him to enter the condo. But as he came into the room with an odd swagger and headed straight for the couch where Charisse was still sleeping, they realized this wasn't Zavid. It was Noir in his body. Dagon cut his path off to Charisse.
What are you doing here, father? You know what I want, boy. Now join me or stand aside.
Dagon's gaze went to Zev and Cody.
You asked me earlier to pick a side to die for. I just did.
Stepping back, he let fly a blast from his hands and declared his eternal enmity. Chapter 13. As every single piece of bramble and brush on the forest floor came alive to attack them, Livia shrieked and ran to hide, leaving Nick as the sole nummy treat for them all. Pissed and aghast, Nick gaped at her as he pulled out his Malachi sword and expanded its size to fight as best he could. "Livia, a hand, please? You're supposed to be one of my Saras, you know." She shrieked and dodged.
"I don't fight hand-to-hand. I lead. Other demons fight, not me. Never me, that's not what I do."
"Now? Now she tells me this, really?" Stunned, he gaped at her, as he realized just how badly he'd chosen his partner for this venture. Wow, talk about hindsight. And extreme stupidity, lethal stupidity for that matter, Bubba would be so proud. Or disappointed that Nick hadn't paid closer attention in all those survival classes he'd attended and mocked Bubba for teaching. That'll learn me for daring to make fun of others. Artemis was right, payback was a cat. Nick fought as best he could, alone.
Out of curiosity, he panted between near-death blows, why were you chosen as a Sara if you can't and don't fight?
She lifted her chin, as if offended by what to him was an extremely reasonable question.
I'm very handy, I'll have you know. I induce envy and conflict into battle and war.
Oh, great. In other words, she was a dung-stirring troublemaker, pure and simple. That was her entire value in war. Wonderful. Just effing beautiful. That was exactly what he wanted in a fight right now. Yeah.
Nick cursed himself for not asking that question sooner. That explained why she'd outed him so fast and hurled his bleeding carcass under the bus with the one-eyed giant on their arrival. That was her nature and her job. It actually explained a whole lot about many things since he'd brought her on board with his crew. She was a troublemaker, the one who lit the fire in others and watched it burn. Crap, I'm such a flaming moron. And he was about to be a dead one. He realized too late the mistake he'd made, putting her at his back and leaving her alone with his friends after he'd freed her. Oh, the things people learned about others when it was too late to make it better. The last thing anyone wanted on their team was someone whose sole purpose in life was causing drama and stirring up jealousy and intrigue. How could I have been so stupid? How could he not have seen it before now? Not known what she was doing with her subtle comments and snide innuendo. But it was easy to do. The thing about jealousy and gossip was that they slipped up on everyone. The trick was to recognize them and stop them immediately, to not let them under your skin, because, just like now, they were worthless things that existed for no other purpose than to destroy lives. No one needed them, and they served no real use. Nick looked at Larabeth. Hey, bird, a hand or a wing here, please? The bird snorted.
I'm your guide, not your soldier. You're on your own, Malachi.
That was how he'd wanted it, but he was beginning to realize alone wasn't all it was cracked up to be, either. Especially against this number of attackers, who were hell-bent on ending his days and ruining his boyish figure. Sticks and stones continued to rise up from the ground and twist into more armored soldiers, which would have been cool when he was a kid playing toy war, but these sticks and stones fully intended to break every bone in his Malachi body and not stop until he was fully dead.
Fine. What do I have in my arsenal?
Lethal sarcasm, a sword, malfunctioning powers, and one trapped demonic spirit. Nick laughed at a ridiculous idea. A real Hail Mary move. You are Catholic. Those tend to be your specialties. True, but there was no guarantee it would work. You have a full guarantee that it won't work if you don't try it. Nick ducked as the ugly and very skilled with a sword giant in front of him swung for his head. He caught the blow with his own sword and parried, then narrowly missed the next attack from another creature moving in at his back. Man, he could use Cody and Caleb and their wicked sword skills right now. These guys were going to win just by their sheer numbers against him. One person, even Amalekai, couldn't stand for long against this onslaught. Not alone. Not with his ill training. Between work and school, he just didn't have the time to focus on martial skills that he needed. If I live, I swear I'm going to pay more attention to Kirian, Caleb, and Asheron when they try to teach me this stuff. No more gaming until he mastered real fighting. He meant that this time.
Liv!
What? She snapped irritably, like she had a reason to be snotty when he was the one getting the crap beat out of him. His arm was so bruised right now he could barely lift it. His back ached, his head hurt, and he wasn't too sure he still had a working spinal cord.
Help! Can't. They don't have blood for me to drain. That's how I fight.
Well, fan-freaking-tastic. Nick blasted another stone soldier with a bolt of fire and twisted from the grasp of another. I'm so getting my butt kicked. He couldn't even get to his grimoire to attempt his Hail Mary play. How had Zev survived it here? For one thing, he was a god, and a trained soldier with real battle experience.
And you're the Malachi. You have the power of ancient gods and the source, too. You can tap the primal powers of the entire universe and blast them to oblivion. Use the force, Luke.
All of a sudden, he felt the warmth of his powers building inside him. The fire of it rushed through his blood faster and faster. His vision darkened. His back burned as his wings began to push through the surface of his skin.
Don't! He heard Nakota's voice in his head, telling him not to morph. You can't control it.
She was right, and he knew it. He did lose a part of his soul to the darkness every time he accessed those powers he didn't fully understand.
But there were no people here. No one he loved that he could lose or accidentally hurt if he went Malachi. Yeah, but he had no anchor here either.
No one to pull him out of it or calm him down. The gods knew Livia wouldn't do it. She didn't care enough to.
If you don't come back from the Malachi state, your mom and Caleb will die. As the full Malachi, you won't care about getting them their cure.
If I don't live through this attack, they won't survive either.
There was that. Nick didn't know what to do. He was terrified to use those powers and scared not to, especially since his strength was already starting to fail during the fighting. He wouldn't last much longer in his human body. Soon, they'd have him. Maybe this was what Cronus and Tiamat had wanted, a full-blown Malachi, the nightmare beast that didn't care who or what it destroyed, the one that fed on utter misery and destruction.
Give in to your pain, not your hatred.
Nick froze at the unexpected deep masculine voice behind him. That rumbling, thick, lilting brogue would be unintelligible if he wasn't used to taking orders from the Celtic Dark Hunter Talon. He was the only one who had an accent anywhere near what he'd just heard. Turning, he saw the shadowed form of a man in the darkness.
Pardon?
You want control of your Malachi powers, boyo. Give in to the pain and the anger. Never the hatred. Set it aside and let it go. Pain will strengthen you and empower you to do better. To be more than what you are. Your hatred will devour you and swallow you whole if you let it. Give in to your pain, not your bitter hatred.
He made it sound so easy, but it wasn't. I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Then you'll become the Malachi you fear. You might as well let it go and become him now. No need in getting your arse kicked any worse than what it is. Why endure the misery of it for another minute, eh?
Nick cursed as one of the beasts kicked him hard in the ribs and another slashed him across the back. He cut one and stumbled away from the next before he sliced a new attacker. Groaning in pain, he glared at his wise leprechaun tormentor.
Hey, Lucky Charms Legolas, in the meantime, could you hop your butt over here and help a brother out?
I wish. Sadly, I lack corporeal form. Like this, I can't even bleed or spit on them.
Livia hissed at the shadow. Ignore him, Nick. He's just a puck.
A what?
A pucka.
She spat the term out as if it was the lowest life form ever created.
A will-o'-the-wisp. They're worthless creatures who were damned and cursed by their gods.
Or a god of war, tricked and trapped here by his own kinsman, who stole his powers after he was stupid enough to trust them.
The shadow moved closer to the battle. If he was offended by Livia's attack, he gave no clue of it. Nick groaned as one of the stone creatures hit him hard and sent him to the ground. He tried to rise, but the earth wrapped around his body and held him down.
Do you know how to fight them?
He asked the pucker.
Yes. If I had a real flesh and blood body, I could defeat them all.
Grimacing and cursing in pain, Nick locked gazes with him as he had a radical idea. It might be crazy, but it was the only thing he could think of.
Will you exchange forms with me long enough to take them out?
The pucker cocked a finely arched brow as if he wasn't quite sure he'd heard those words.
You would trust me?
If you give me your word, yes.
The pucker pulled back and blinked in utter disbelief.
You'd accept me word?
He asked again.
Yes. Don't do it, Nick. You can't trust a puck. They're liars and thieves, all of them. It's what they do.
Nick ignored her.
I will trust your honor until you give me a reason not to.
The pucker hesitated a moment longer before he inclined his head to him.
"'Tis a pact, then, Malachi, between us brothers. Let me in, and I'll ring their blessed bells till they run weeping home.'
Using as little of his Malachi powers as was necessary, Nick swapped his soul with the puck's. One second he was on the ground, getting the snot beaten out of him, and the next he was the one in the shadows. Ah, yeah, it was really good to have a body that wasn't riddled with pain. He could finally draw a deep breath again and not wince or groan from it. All hail working lungs. He turned back toward his real body, where it was being crushed and bludgeoned by huge, brutish attackers. Dang, he'd done well to keep them off him. But that was an ugly,
ugly sight, and he had no idea how the pucker was going to